Basically, on the weekend, they actually said I was going to do a bunch of talk on reverse engineering, but unless people really want to see lots of boring color-coded hex dumps, I was really going to do a talk on ganache itself and the project.
Try
it out. No, I'm just talking. Test one. I'll just try and talk really, really loud, I guess. But anyway, my reverse engineering talk is unfortunately like an entire afternoon's tutorial, and I thought I'd spare you guys the boredom of reading hex dumps. Although it is kind of fun when you get really into it. So anyway, I'm going to talk about ganache, the GNU Flash Player, which, funny enough, somebody once did a vote and said we have the worst name of a GNU project they had ever heard of. I don't know why, but the rest of us kind of like it. I work for Open Media Now, which is a nonprofit I founded several years ago, and we're actually a 501c6 sort of a trade organization based in Colorado, a legal nonprofit. We have a team spread out, I think at last count, over about 9 or 10 different countries working on a lot of our software. And I used to say we raised funds for open media related projects, but the last 3 months it's been more like we attempt to raise funds. I don't know if anybody here is running a nonprofit, but it's a really bad economy for sponsorships for free software projects. And we're about to announce a big legal project working with patents around multimedia codecs and stuff that I'll talk about in a little bit as I get into it. And anybody can ask questions at any time, because this isn't so much as a talk as a bunch of slides, and you can interrupt me and distract me all you want.
So can we donate to Open Media Now and like, give you money?
Yes.
All right.
We also take free beer, massages, and pizza.
I was in New York about 3 days ago and saw something called FHTML, which translates a sort of higher level of HTML directly into Flash. I'm wondering if you know those guys, because it might be interesting to have their stuff translate into you instead.
No, but since we interpret Flash, Swift format, we won't care, because when we see it, it's already down to the Swift end. Okay. So. And I'll talk more about codecs later. So right now, for the last 4.5 years, we've been sort of funding and sponsoring several projects. Kind of one of our goals in Open Media... who cares anyway? One of the goals in Open Media Now is that we believe really strongly in patent-free multimedia codecs. And then the big problem is that there's not really a complete infrastructure for using things like Vorbis. So if you wanted to create a video in Theora, edit it, and put it on your website, you can kind of do it now if you're a geek, but most normal people, it's pretty daunting. And so one of our goals was to develop the sort of creation end, server side, and client side for multimedia, web. I'm not going to use the 2.0 thing because it makes me sick. But so we work a lot on ganache, which is our client side for displaying Flash, of course, Adobe plugin compatible. I just 2 weeks ago released Signal, which is a Adobe compatible media server that also speaks Flash and a couple of other protocols. And Ming, which is a sort of a Flash compiler type of creation environment that, as of last week, somebody's putting a GUI on. So we're working now on graphical IDEs for Flash programmers, which should be fun, primarily oriented towards educational games. I figured I'd throw this one up. Everybody goes, how do you wind up working on free software projects sometimes? I mean, I remember when I first started on GCC, I needed a free compiler and couldn't afford to pay Sun $9,000 a seat. So Ganache's first platform, believe it or not, was my stereo. One day I got a phone call from an old friend of mine, and John Gilmore, and he had some company that wanted to do a Flash-based user interface. At the time, I hadn't quite realized this 5 years ago, but since now, it turns out that the main use of Ganache is not in a web browser. It's actually a user interface for set-tops and embedded devices that runs in a raw frame buffer without X11 that happens to know how to do video. So anyway, I spent about 6 months on this originally. I looked around for existing projects. The nice thing about the sort of free software world is a lot of times we all build on the work of others. And so sometimes when we're asked to start a new project and don't have a whole lot of time, you really need to depend and build on the work of others. So I found this one project that was the beginning of a Flash player, talked to the developer, he had kind of abandoned it, and became a pretty active developer on it, ported it, and bang, there was the user interface for my stereo system. This is a nice box. They make these stereos for high-end houses and stuff. This particular box has got a 600-gigabyte hard drive with about 2,500 Grateful Dead bootlegs, I think, on it. It's the Grateful Dead box. But it's amazing what people get started. And when I did this, I didn't really think about it, and I'll get into it more, but I did a project and wrote a little Flash player and then forgot about it, and then a while later, it kind of came back to me. Huh? Is it? Oh, good. Now I can talk a little quieter. So basically, some people say, like, why Flash? I mean, one of the problems is that myself and actually nobody on the Ganache team, none of us had ever installed the Adobe plugin. So, because I just don't like binary blobs, really. So one of the funny things we had is, like, you know, why Flash? Well, you know, in the earlier days of the internet, nobody really cared. And even up until, like, the early parts of, you know, 2000s and stuff, you could pretty much navigate the web pretty decently without, like, a Flash plugin. But what we started to see was a lot of problems. People were starting to use Flash for menus, not instead of image maps. People were using Flash in a lot of ways that wasn't like video or animation. I mean, Flash is a, you know, graphics programming language. And so what was happening was that basic functionality on some sites, login pages, menus, all that kind of stuff, were becoming so Flash-based that I'd go to a website and it'd be a big gray box, you know. And that was kind of getting irritating. Then it started happening more and more and more and more. Then this crazy thing called YouTube came out, and oh my God, suddenly Flash has been adopted, you know, worldwide for streaming video applications. Maybe good, because Silverlight, I hear, sucks, and I think for Silverlight, you have to download binary blob codecs from Microsoft still. So, which is good, and that's one case I hope that us and Adobe survive the onslaught of Microsoft there. And then the other thing was that Flash is also heavily used for educational applications and gaming, which I never really thought of until I got involved with the OLPC project. So in some ways, people go, well, you know, what do we care about Flash? I mean, you know, big deal. It's like, you know, graphics and mostly ads. Like, when I first got Ganache running as a web browser plugin, I realized that the internet had been taken over by, you know, basically real estate agents who all use, like, Flash 5 that runs in anything, you know, and it's like the whole sides of your browser are blinking. I'm like, oh, that was a mistake. Maybe I should kill this project now. but part of the problem was that as time went on, when you don't have a Flash plugin, you start to become an inability to navigate the internet. I mean, a lot of us that aren't in the binary blob start finding that we're left out, you know, and it was kind of a drag to sort of, you know, this web thing's pretty cool, you know, sure beats Usenet in the old days, and suddenly it was becoming harder and harder to deal with the internet. So that was kind of an interesting. I know at one point the FSF had a campaign on don't use Flash. Didn't work too good, obviously. I mean, everything's worth it. I'm a big believer in the futile gesture, but we just did not get people to stop adopting Flash. And so at that point, you know, you kind of need your own Flash player. I don't know if anybody here is into, you know, 64-bit systems, but yeah, me too. The Adobe player, I think they just got 64-bit released in alpha a couple, like a month or so ago, finally. They probably would have been reading the Ganache code.
It crashes the browser.
Really quickly. So yeah, I found... and so that's the other problem. The other thing is their Linux support in the Adobe player pretty much sucks from what everybody tells me. Not being actually allowed to run it, I can't tell you. But everybody else tells me that it's bad, it crashes, it hangs Firefox, it does all this crazy stuff. I can see why I haven't worked on Flash for all these years. And then the other problem, too, is it really, I mean, Adobe Flash really only runs on little Indian 32-bit Intel machines, basically, which, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I actually work on a lot of other weird machines, everything from Itaniums and MIPS and PowerPCs and ARMs, and I always thought one of the beauties of free software is you can make it run on anything if you just got a little bit of time and motivation. And so basically, it's like, you know, what can we do about this problem? So, you know, basically we just saw talk about sort of network services. Don't use Flash on your websites. And this is from a guy who writes a Flash player. We should really not be looking for more ways to pervert our websites with Flash because it's just going to eat your CPU. And when I go to websites and their front page is just a gigantic Flash movie at, you know, 800 by 600, I'll go to another website. Forget that one. Another thing is we encourage people that do have to, you know, that are actually sort of on the provider end of the business. If you're working on a website that's got some Flash content, test it with Ganache. The guys at Dailymotion test with Ganache all the time, and so everything they do works with Ganache. Same thing for YouTube. We work with the YouTube guys, and so, you know, sites that work with us work a lot better for everybody.
I would say another thing is if you encounter a business website that you go to that is Flash heavy, send a letter to the company or send them an email saying, gee, I would really love to do business with you, but your website is too Flash heavy. I want plain text or I want regular graphics.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. We had one of our developers fixed a bunch of bugs in Ganache a couple years ago merely because his bank adopted Flash-based banking software.
can you use some bizarre trick? I'm just going to make this up, but a bizarre trick like switching languages to say on your browser, I don't want Flash, then at least people could provide on their site two ways of doing
I guess, but I'm not a website guy, so.
Speaking out loud, that might also help in the meantime with all the people who have binary blob trouble. There may be a way of specifying, I'm not planning to execute Flash, please give me your alternate version of your
Yeah, and I really like the people that say skip this or alternate menus. Sitemaps are great. I like a lot of that stuff, but not all website maintainers and designers actually pay attention to even their user base, much less normal people. And then our solution, of course, to this whole problem was, you know, sometimes when you get really, really frustrated and pissed off, the best thing is to write code. A lot of code. Fast. Well, we didn't go that fast. So anyway, Ganache is a funny little project. As I said, we started in 2004 for a user interface for a stereo system. And then I forgot about it. You know, I was a consulting at the time. It was a project, big deal. You know, did that project, did another one. One day, funny enough, when I was packing to go down to Katrina to do relief work for Katrina, I got this phone call from John Gilmore, and he goes, you know, didn't you write a Flash player last year? And I'm like, well, yeah, big deal. And he goes, we need a free Flash plugin. Here's why. And I got the whole brain dump from John, you know, and I'm like, interesting. I'll let you know whenever I get back. So 5 months later, I got back and basically called up John and said, yeah, I'm broke. I'll go do that. And he made a very small donation, but it's okay. You know, fed the kids, and that was cool. And so I started, that's basically when we started the Ganache project. And because I had based it on another older open source project, I talked to the maintainer. And he had the classic example. He goes, please fork my project, which I think was slightly unusual. He goes, I don't want to do bug reports. I got a nice job that I like. Just change the name and do something else. And so I'm like, oh my God, John. He said, this is great, but we need a name. John's like, oh, call it Ganache. I'm like, great, I hate picking project names. Then basically, I got launched into trying, I mean, I'm a compiler debugger guy, so then I got launched into trying to reverse engineer how you do plugins for Firefox. Boy, that was really fun for a guy without a graphics background. But eventually, in beating through massive amounts of incredibly out-of-date documentation, reading source code's wonderful, actually, I actually got Ganache running as a Firefox plugin in 2006, which was pretty cool, I thought, because I wasn't sure I was actually going to get it to work at one point. And we got it all working, and that was pretty neat. Oh, boy, big mistake. We got lots of attention. Lots of attention means lots of bug reports. But bug reports are all good, so it doesn't matter. So that was pretty cool. So at that point, I suddenly had a Flash plugin in my browser to watch all the ads. That was great, sort of. So then we decided, you know, we hadn't really done enough by polluting the Firefox world with making all the Flash ads actually work in their browser. So then we decided to screw up Concord by giving it Flash plugin support as well. So now this way, KDE and GNOME desktop people can have the full beauty of the internet advertising at full force. But this is why we all run Adblock, right? So we got that running as a sort of kparts type plugin, so you can kind of plug in Ganache's widgets and GNOME and KDE and all this weird perverted gunk. Then we got YouTube working. There's I think it's Peter put it out a couple years ago about, you know, oh, Ganache needs new help to get YouTube working. We got it working 2 weeks later. But that was actually really interesting because I can't tell you how many bug reports I get that YouTube doesn't work, all because we can't ship a proprietary codec. But it's pretty funny because when we got YouTube working in Ganache, instantly we became Ganache, the YouTube player. Nobody even talks about Flash, Swift, animations, educational software. Flash doesn't seem to exist for most people, but YouTube. It's amazing. And I never actually been to YouTube. I don't even own a television. I went to YouTube and I'm like, oh my God, what an amazing thing. I spent so much time watching crappy YouTube videos. It's harder than debugging at hex dumps, I tell you. So since basically we got the project started, we became a high priority project at the FSF. It was kind of a pseudo empty slot. They had GPL Flash up there, but when I announced Ganache, all the GPL Flash people quit their project and joined the Ganache team, and actually is still the Ganache team. And so we just sort of switched high priority Flash projects because we had a lot. Well, I had written an act better VM than they had, so it worked out that way. One of the nice things, as I'll mention it, being a talk on high-priority projects is, it really does help being on the project list. It's not like you're going to make you a zillionaire or whatever, but a lot of developers are motivated to do what they think is good for the community, and they're willing to let the FSF say, hey, we think you should go do this, it's good for the community. So it's been really helpful to have that support, because having enough developers when you're doing a gigantic project like a Flash player, it's a lot of work, and so I hate to say it, a lot of bodies is actually useful. We don't have a lot of bodies, but we have more than me, which is really nice. I've started a few other GPL projects and gotten zero developers and never had posts on the email list. So it's kind of nice to be on a project that's actually got a pretty active, you know, kind of vibrant community and stuff. We're now, I think, on over We're running on something like 40 or 50 different computer systems now. Almost every GNU Linux and BSD distribution on the planet ships Ganache. So does OpenSolaris, Haiku, Syllable, OS2, and a bunch of other weird machines. And then I created Open Media Now, mostly so people could give us money. Because it turns out there's this interesting concept when you actually can help pay your developer something, they work all the time. And their wives don't scream at them because they're actually helping pay the bills. And some, I'm a big believer that trying to help fund free software projects is a really good thing.
So
not like.
How many of those distributions that are distributing Ganache are distributing the Hummer codecs along with it?
None of them. Zero. Big problem. I get probably several hundred bug reports every week that YouTube doesn't work, all because they haven't loaded a single codec package called FFmpeg. Drives me crazy, but that's life. But I'll get into that more too. So anyway, we created Open Media Now, which, as I said, was a nonprofit because at one point we had no way to actually take money or equipment from everybody. And people that really want to help you but happen to have these thing called businesses around them have to be able to write, not necessarily write stuff off. They have to say, we mailed it to these guys and here's their website and their P.O. box. So we created our own nonprofit, mostly just because, I don't know, we just decided to create our own nonprofit as opposed to running it under somebody else's banner and stuff. And it's been interesting running a nonprofit, but, you know, whatever. And we spent basically then been putting a lot of our time into continuing to reverse engineer the Adobe technology. And I don't think I can use a protocol analysis term for a binary file format, though. But so I use reverse engineering, and we don't disassemble executables because that's tacky and cheating anyway and no fun. that's what I told it. The first time I ever went up to Adobe, they asked me all these weird questions about, you know, Ganache, and they thought I was basically, you know, taking their player apart. And I'm like, why would I want to re-implement your crappy Flash player code? I said, a VM's a VM. We can do a better job. We're free software, you know. We're free to do what we want, actually. So one of the funny things about Ganache is, as I said, most of the Ganache usage actually isn't really so much as a web browser plugin, which is good, because I'd be buried in 10,000 YouTube bugs every day. And I'm actually a longtime embedded systems programmer. I've been doing embedded systems work pretty much since the 70s, and I like small devices, and I worked at Cygnus Support for most of that whole run, and so I spent a lot of time playing with, like, weird, funky hardware. So I like that stuff. It's kind of fun for me. So anyway, I got really into a crazy urge a few years ago of putting Ganache to anything that would show up in my house. So this was a small collection of some of the crazy stuff I ported Ganache to in a couple of week period. The XR doesn't count in the middle, but there's two Sharp Zaruses in there, a Nokia phone, an Intel Classmate, Pepper Pad. I don't know, it was just kind of fun. OpenMoko ports, Nokia 770 at the time, internet tablet, PlayStation 3 port, because we run on power, we run 64-bit on power PCs in big Indian mode. And that was actually pretty fun because I like playing with hardware. And so, and this has actually been most of the people using Ganache. We have a bunch of companies in Hong Kong and Taiwan that ship Ganache as their main media player. There's a whole lot of people in sort of in our market space. This is more like what we work on, not the web browser, thank God, because the Web 2.0 is boring. Still using reverse engineering. This will probably be my only reverse engineering slide unless people want me to launch into my other talk later. Basically, if you're going to really reverse engineer something, don't do it FFmpeg. Do it legally so other people can actually redistribute it, or it's not really worth the effort. I'm a big believer in doing it legally. Talk to the lawyers first. It's a good idea. You know, once you're in trouble, it's like getting a speeding ticket. You know, it's like you can't do much about it. So it's just better to avoid trouble by being really careful. And I think I've memorized every legal reverse engineering clause in the DMCA, thanks to the EFF and stuff. If you happen to see software with a really crazy EULA, the Flash license had a clause that forbid reverse engineering Flash players if you installed their plugin. If you read their ActionScript specifications or the Adobe documentation manuals, you are forbidden from working on Flash players. They recently removed this requirement after 4 years of me bugging them about it, which is pretty amazing. But yeah, if you have a really weird EULA and it has clauses in it you don't like, don't sign it, don't use the software. The other big key thing is you have to use publicly available documentation. In the Flash world, this was actually pretty easy because a lot of the documentation was based on ECMA 262, same as JavaScript. I mean, Adobe uses the Mozilla JavaScript engine for a long time. That's why they rewrote it and gave it back and called it Tamarin. And so we basically used ECMA 262 for our class library specifications. And then our volunteer community would run test cases with the Adobe player, tell us how it was supposed to work, and we would just go back and forth until we had it exactly right. And in the beginning, it was very slow that way, but over time, we got to know it all so well that we haven't even barely, we don't barely even look at documentation anymore. And then last year, after several years of us lobbying Adobe, they released all their specifications and dropped their licensing clause. So I'll give them a little bit of credit there, luckily. The other thing is, if you're actually going to use proprietary software, you have to legally obtain it. So for instance, some of my reverse engineering on like network protocols, I've had to sniff the network connection. But hey, I've got older kids who run Adobe Flash so they can like pass their college tests. I can't make my kids flunk out of college, you know. So so like, and that says, my son's visiting. Gee, I can have him like go to these five URLs where I sniff the network connection and get all the data that I need. You gotta love having kids. But the whole point is that Yeah, I should tell you another, when my kids first went to college, they're just like, Dad, you forgot to tell us about this Windows thing. Everybody thinks we're weird. Growing up in a house full of Unix machines. But anyway, so yeah, if you're gonna reverse engineer proprietary software, get it legally. I can't emphasize it. When you do these things legally, you can keep doing it. If you don't do it legally, people make you stop. Making you stop is also called court, jail, and big fines. None of which is good. And then the final part is what's really funny is last week the head, the top manager at Adobe actually announced for the first time publicly ever, I've been bugging him about this for a long time, that Ganache is a legal reimplementation of open specifications. I was blown away because now I'm not so worried about being sued anymore. And Silverlight's been very useful for getting Adobe to be friendly. Ganache has got a whole bunch of different features that aren't quite exactly like some of the Adobe ones. One of the big fun things about Ganache is, since it was originally written as a user interface, it runs standalone. That's how it was designed. You know, the plugin was kind of an afterthought. And so most of the people using Ganache love the fact that they can run it from the command line, run custom Flash movies that's like their advertising sign or whatever else it is. And so an ability to run standalone, unlike Adobe, has been very, very useful to us. And we plug into pretty much any Mozilla-derived browser from Firefox 1.05 up to Firefox 3.1. Conqueror in KDE 3 and 4, Embedded Conqueror, which was a pain, bunches of other weird browsers. It seems like every browser these days is actually implementing NPAPI, even WebKit is. So we've been actually supporting pretty much every browser around. And lately we've fixed the support so that some of the weird browsers work pretty good. Not weird, I mean, but some of the ice cat, ice weasels, all the weird little variations install things subtly differently. So we've been putting a lot of work into making sure Ganache installs and works with, you know, all the other browsers. Streaming video, you know, Ganache supports streaming video. Big deal, YouTube, but it's really popular, it turns out. Another big thing about Ganache that Adobe never did is we actually have multiple renderers. We support OpenGL, which if you're on a small cell phone platform, they often have OpenGL along with like a 400 megahertz processor. And so you actually need to be able to kind of delegate a lot of your processing to the graphics processor just so that your little 400 megahertz chip can do full software, you know, what else it's doing. I mean, it's hard working on slow hardware, so having OpenGL backends is very useful. We also support a thing called Anti-Grain, AGG, although I think that's going to go away and be replaced by another vector library soon, because AGG is kind of, the guy got a commercial job and it's kind of stopped being maintained. And we use that as sort of a 100% pure software rendering solution for people that don't have OpenGL support. And we support Cairo, but it's really, really slow. So someday Cairo will catch up and maybe we'll use it more, but right now it's not very good. We do a lot of work with network security. When I first got Ganache with a working network connection, I discovered that most Flash movies install 3, 4, 5, 6 other Flash movies from other websites, and because it's being loaded by the Flash player, you never see it. You know, your monitor light goes on. Wow, there's network traffic, you know. So when I got networks working, I was blown away. It turns out that Adobe has hacks in their SDK where every time you play the Flash movie, it'll register a hit on somebody's website in their access log, so you can count how many times your movie was played. Lots of little weird stuff like that. This got me really worried. So one of the nice things we've done in Ganache is we pay a lot more attention to security. The Adobe Flash Player is full of security bugs. It's not this talk, but it's, I wouldn't use it for banking software. It would scare the crap out of me. But anyway, other people do. So we pay a lot of attention with privacy, whitelists and blacklists. You can, if you don't have, you know, ad block or flash block installed, you can do a blacklist of sites you don't like and you never load Flash content from them. It's a great way to get rid of the trackers watching you, you know. We print out every network connection so you can see what's going on. We save everything that's loaded to disk as an option if you want so you can see what was going on. We're pretty crazy about it. But security is really, really important, and I think the free software community pays more attention to security and privacy of individuals than any of these big commercial companies. And it's important. We're also extensible. Adobe Flash has these big class libraries, which are cool, but if you want to do anything outside the class library, you then have to write everything in, you know, ActionScript and bytecode interpreted. So Ganache actually supports writing wrappers for any development library on your system. So much like Perl and Python and stuff write thin wrappers for every development library on your GNU Linux platform, Ganache does that too. So we have things like direct MySQL support, direct raw network support, support for remote control devices. So when you're using your set-top box, you can grab a remote control and it just works in Ganache like a mouse. And so we pretty much write wrappers for everything. Dbus, I wrote wrappers once for GTK so I could program GTK in ActionScript because I don't have the Adobe SDK. It's kind of fun. You can actually, we turn ActionScript into a kind of a general purpose scripting language that's got really good graphics support, which is kind of neat. In addition to that, then, we also support a thing called XML messaging, which Adobe's had for a while. For instance, the stereo that I used, the Flash movie, because Flash runs in a sandbox, you click, you know, play, it can't really do anything. It can't talk to the hardware, although Ganache can, but the Adobe player can't. So what you do is now you click a button that sends an XML message, things happen. So the ability to have an XML-based networking scheme lets you do pretty nice, complicated protocols and all sorts of other kind of fancy stuff. And finally, we're really big fans of patent-free codecs. If you go to Internet Archive and you have Ganache, you'll get Fiora instead of MPEG, stuff like that. We're big fans of making the whole sort of patent-free codec infrastructure actually work. So this is another tough one. Compatibility of Ganache, it changes daily, but not heavily. So I'll make the attempt here. Primarily, we're originally a Flash 7 project, but Flash 7's kind of old now. So we actually, last year, released the original beginning of Flash 9 support, which is good because YouTube and everybody else is now using Adobe Flash support and things like that. So we have Flash 9 support, good, but we don't have all the class libraries, so that's kind of our next part is to work on that. We've got about 80% of the up to Flash 9 libraries implemented, but with Flash 9 they created a Flash library, you know, five times the size. It's crazy. But luckily, ActionScript 3 is like ActionScript 2. They've completely changed all the binary bindings and the interfaces and gunk. But we figured all that out and got it working in an experimental branch. And the next Ganache release will have pretty good Flash 9 support, we believe. Actually, I got 10 minutes. So I'll start going faster. We're really portable. We're really into portability, so I won't bother to read this whole slide. But we run on a lot of different stuff. That's half the fun, because free software should run anywhere you need it to. And we even run on that Windows thing. A lot of weird operating systems I never heard of. We're really into performance because we believe that's one spot where Adobe has completely blown it. So we support both the X Video extension for scaling if your hardware supports it, like on the OLPC. So we can do like full 19 by 1200 full screen resolution, about 10-12% CPU load. Let's see Adobe do that. We use the MIT shared memory extension, so your average Flash rendering and stuff typically is a good 10, 15, 20% lower than the Adobe player on the same hardware. I don't run Adobe, so I can't give you numbers other than the ones people give me. And we're doing a lot of work now with variations on supporting hardware-based audio and video decoding, mostly for the sort of embedded market. So basically, Ganache is written in C++. I think we're one of the few GNU projects that is actually in C++ base. The original project I worked on was written in C++, so I didn't really decide. I just used it, but I like C++, so who cares? We use Boost instead of glib for threads and portable data types, a lot of that stuff. We use both GStreamer or FFmpeg. We're big on internal APIs, so we support a lot of weird stuff. And FFmpeg's got better performance, but most of the distributions build it with GStreamer support. We use libcurl for networking, although I'm about to replace that. And we support GNOME and KDE pretty much natively. The extensions and stuff, like I said, we can write extensions for pretty much any development library on your computer. It makes Flash an actual decent programming language with lots of eye candy and moving objects and stuff. I'll throw this one in too. So we're big into testing. Among other things, I was the author of Deja GNU, the GNU regression testing format. So I'm really big into regression testing, like a maniac. We have something like 35,000 test cases. We're huge believers in test cases. We're big into BuildBot and things like that. We use a lot of other tools because there's several now sort of free Flash compilers around. We actually run our test suites through every other Flash compiler we can find. We maintain Ming, but we use MTask and Hax and SwiftMill. And SwiftTools 2 weeks ago released an ActionScript 3 compiler, which is going to be very, very useful to us. You talk about projects helping each other. They saw we needed an ActionScript 3 compiler, and they cranked it out in a month. It was wonderful. We have a pretty good-sized build farm and stuff because we like to run a lot of machines, so you got to do it all the time. I'll put in a little blurb for BuildBot, another GPL project. If you got a bunch of different machines you're supporting and a lot of different configurations, BuildBot basically builds, you know, one config, 2 hours later builds a different configuration and just works its way through all the computations until it's done and gives you cute little charts that you can check. I really like BuildBot, although it's a little flaky sometimes, but mostly works good. So our current focuses right now are improving our Flash 9 library and support. We're doing a lot of work on that. We've reverse engineered the RTMP network protocols Adobe uses and the BBC iPlayer uses, and it's kind of what all the proprietary companies like to use. We now have an implementation, both client and server side, that's about to get released. We're more into better performance, like as I said, like hardware video acceleration decoding, and we're actually now working on Flash-based video conferencing applications on top of Ganache and our media server. I'll briefly mention this. I just released an alpha of Signal like 2 weeks ago, and Signal is a media server that happens to be a clone of the Adobe media server, which means it speaks Flash. Most of the video conferencing works by actually sending Flash to the server and executing it like a CGI bin kind of thing in a sandbox and stuff. And so we're actually working on, you know, the full media server and stuff like that that supports patent-free codecs as well as proprietary ones. It already handles a half dozen different protocols, lots of other stuff. I'm adding support for actually PHP and Python CGI bins within the media server, so you can do really cool stuff. Like, you can send it Python code and execute it in the server in a sandbox, not having to have it pre-installed, which is a kind of a cool feature that Adobe actually did. And it's really in heavy development, and anybody who wants to work on media servers, I would love to have some more volunteer help, because it's been kind of a solo project for me lately. This one's sort of out of the way, but one of the big things is we did a lot of work on the LLPC, which is what brought a lot of these issues with multimedia codecs, because we started shipping XOs all over the planet. Everybody said, but YouTube doesn't work, because they couldn't ship the stupid codec, which I think is in another slide here in a second. But that was actually a fun project until Nicholas ruined it. I think he started it at once, but he basically killed his own project, as far as I can tell. So codecs. So Flash right now uses MPEG-3, MPEG-4, Nelly Moser, and Sorensen. FLV, which YouTube uses, is just a container format. It's not really a codec. We also support, you know, Speaks Vorbis, Fiora, and then we're going to be using Kelp for our video conferencing support instead of Nelly Moser. And then the big thing is that we had an inability to redistribute Ganache on anybody's machines. And so I just literally, a few days ago, created a new website with John Gilmore called codecpatents.org, and we're actually launching a campaign to do legal clean room implementations of proprietary codecs. I think it's got to happen. So anybody who's got a little time, what we'd like to do is, well, for one thing, we could use some sysadmin help on codecpatents.org, but there's a lot of research that needs to be done by the community for prior art. We saw how powerful Groklaw was, and we want to do the same thing with multimedia codecs, because as you get into the patents, they're bogus, a lot of them. Nobody's just ever bothered to do anything about it because they're scared to death.
It's a little more complicated than that.
I'll agree, more than a little more complicated, but people just... it'll cost you $600 million. I'm like, yeah, we might as well get started now. as Jeremy said, we're a nonprofit. What are we going to do, get sued? They can have my old Toyota truck, you know? So when people ask how they can help, the Ganache project is interesting. We actually have a lot of non-engineers on the Ganache project. It's one of the fun things of doing free software is the community of active people that are doing documentation, translations. We're really big in translating and supporting multiple languages because it's important and stuff like that. So we're really big in the translation. So if you speak a language that we're not supporting right now, please send us a translation for Ganache. That way all the error messages show up and you can actually read them. We do a lot of testing and feedback from people because they run the Adobe Player and we can't. And so without our volunteers running the Adobe Player saying, oh, on this, with Ganache I had a pink border, but with Adobe I had a red border. Oh, thank you, you know. And so without people testing us with the Adobe Player compatibility, we would not be making much progress. And this is where volunteers are so wonderful. Good bug reports. They do a lot with us. We can't run the Adobe Player. So to say, well, the Adobe does this, Ganache does this. Good bug reports are really useful, even if you get thousands of them, other than the YouTube one, for helping us make a better project. And we want a better project and more stable and all that. Documentation, writing, and updating. I wrote a user manual, a tutorial, and a reference manual. Nobody's ever touched it since. I think it needs to be updated.
Do you run tests that compare the equivalents of Ganache and Adobe Brand Flash output?
Well, we can't exactly.
Well, I mean, do you want me to run a build bot that runs Flash?
Well, the problem, though, is we can talk about this later, but it's really hard to test a graphical application. And so most of our tests are much more unit level and integration level than they are actually at the top level because, you know, to X11, Flash is just a big bitmap. It can't tell whether there's a button. It can't tell anything. And I've been doing some work on trying to work around this problem, but don't have a good solution yet. So volunteers running Adobe Player by hand is our automation, and they're very useful to us.
Sorry, I was going to say, maybe I believe one of the problems is that Adobe's license on the player prohibits it being run as on a server as sort of a queryable node. You have to run it personally, and so that's
that could
that's
be.
I have never licensed.
You can't do it.
Yeah, if he's never seen.
Yeah.
And then, of course, anybody here who plays with BuildBot, I'm really sick of being our BuildBot build farm maintainer, so I'm dying for a volunteer. I'm just sick of it. I just did the release, which was like, you know, 3 weeks of build farm hacking. And basically, here's a bunch of different resources, URLs, for getting more information on Ganache, of course. GanacheDev.org is our big developer site where much of the technical detail is. GetGanache.org, our build farm cranks out devs, RPMs, binary tarballs, and source snapshots every night, if it works. OpenMediaNow.org is our nonprofit, if you want to give us 10 or 15 cents or a free six-pack or something. And of course, the Pound Ganache channel on Freenode is pretty much a great spot for kind of front-end technical support. So anybody got more questions?
Adobe's adding features to the official Flash Player pretty rapidly.
I wouldn't put it that way, but yeah.
Do you think you're catching up?
We're definitely catching up because most of their features are actually not truly re-implementations or format changes. They're often stuff that we actually already implemented. They added high-quality video support for YouTube. We had it for a year already. We couldn't figure out what the big deal was. So who's chasing who?
Somebody just suggested a soundbite on the IRC. Flash ain't done till Ganache won't run. Is that a strategy you think they're likely to pursue?
Yeah.
I was just going to suggest something. I'm sure that you already thought of this, but if you use part of the money from that Open Codex project or some of the other projects, take a small amount and hire a few professional search engine optimization people to try to make Nash come up just as often as Flash in a lot of people's, you know, Google searches, because this is really fabulous. And I've known a lot about it myself for a long time. I wasn't paying attention to it.
I mean, the biggest problem is that.
Fabulous.
The biggest problem is that the URLs for Flash content in almost every web page on the planet have the Macromedia and Adobe URL embedded in it as an attribute. And unfortunately, there's millions and millions of those.
I know,
and that's
there are people whose job is to fool the Google PageRank, yeah. You can pay them to do it.
What I really want to see is have IceCat look for www.macromedia.com and instead of going to their plugin page, send you to get Ganache to get a Ganache XPI for your browser. And that should be possible with IceCat, I would hope.
Or if you have a Firefox plugin that like does that generically for a lot of sites that are not.
It's a free software project. We can all do with it what we want. We take contributions.
All right. Thank you very much.
I have Kieran O'Rourden, who is the executive director of the End Software Patents Campaign. Comes to us from a very long background of fighting software patents in Europe.